This is going to be a heavy one today, Carr.
It's going to be brutal, man. It's going to be a little bit different than usual.
Yeah. I don't like getting too negative on here, but, well.
It's got to be done. It's got to be done, man. Fire up the jams. Let's get into it.
All right. Kiss me here, talk me there. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
The fuck was that, dude?
listen, ignore it. I'll just play our theme. I'll just play our theme.
Welcome, everyone, to the sixth episode of the Friends Against Government podcast, the only podcast that strengthens the large government brings tears community. I am one of your co-hosts, Carr. With me, as always, Bird, out in New York. Bird, what's happening, man?
What's going on? Woof. That was a struggle.
I just took about 48 takes to get that right, and I am just, my head's just not in the right spot, but it's about to get in the right spot.
Oh, man, yeah. Okay.
Maybe we'll publish a couple of those.
I think it doesn't help that we didn't do any like pre-discussion of how this episode is going to go.
Just jumped in, and then I fucked up the podcast name like twice. Like, how do I do that?
Would you say the Friends Against podcast?
Yeah. Like, what does that even mean? All right.
Oh man, I'm staring at Todd's face right now because I'm looking to do some Todd takes today.
Should we open it up with some Todd takes?
It's going to get a little heavy, right?
It's going to get heavy on the back end. I feel like, and I mean, goofy heavy, but probably a little bit heavy. So let's get some Todd takes down and get them out of the way. For everybody who doesn't remember, Todd is the ultimate normie libertarian. There's something so special about, it's almost like a horseshoe theory where he is so normie that he's coming back around to being almost extreme or something. I think that may be it. I'm not really sure, but it's just the most normie libertarian takes of all time.
And go figure, that guy is the one who gets banned.
Yeah, right. So I think we already discussed that. But yeah. He just got back from the suspension and he's had a number of gems that deserve time. They deserve
time. We didn't get to do it because we had Aaron on last week. God, that was fun. Which was by fun the way. Itself. I can't wait to do another conspiracy court.
I know.
But we didn't get to do one, and so now I guess we should run through a couple of his tweets.
Oh, who? Talk about by them. The way, before we hop into that, who won? Did Aaron win the poll?
Oh, I don't know. Let's check right now, live. Let's check live.
Okay,
right
yeah,
now.
You got. I forgot about it.
Let's check. I'm trying to check live right this second. I'm gonna go to my Twitter page, Bird Arcus. Guys, follow me. I'm trying to pass Carr over here.
Nah, you're not gonna pass me. I got. Yeah, like right. I said, I got Mike on my side.
Oh, he. Yep. Yep. Here we go. So if you take out the 33% for C results, Aaron has won. 42% have been convinced that gang stalking is real and happening. 8% are not convinced, and 17% need more information. 33% declined to answer because they wanted to see the results instead. You greedy
bastards. I dislike that you put that in there.
Yeah, I'm going to force people to make a decision next time because that really could have been the swing vote.
It could be. When we could have kicked Aaron's ass off of here for good.
Well, what happened to Aaron? He's gone radio silent. It's really crazy.
That would be, I tell you what, man, if Aaron disappeared right after doing that ELF or gang stalking podcast, I'd probably just hang up the shoes. I'd be done.
Right. I'll be finished with that one. So yeah, there you go. Aaron won. He'll be coming back on. I don't know what he's going to be doing. We've been talking about the Sasquatch. Maybe we'll do a Sasquatch episode. I don't know. Let's hop over to Todd. You have anything you want to share with the people? Maybe we could dissect some Todd tweets.
Yeah. I had one that I posted in our group chat.
Can I share one with you?
Go,
it might actually be
it.
The one that you picked. About 21 hours ago from the time of recording this, so the 25th of March, 2018, 7:27 p.m., Todd, he tweets, "I support the Bill of Rights protections for you, even if you can't say the same about me." That is
it's like a drop kick to the chest. Like it just drains your energy. I got one.
Tragic.
Here. Here's one from March 17th. "Free markets are a beautiful thing. ... A couple spaces. In parentheses, not that we'd know." Like, what the fuck, Todd?
No, he's like, he reminds me of like when you go to, when you, like, let's say, like, you go to a family house that's somewhere, like, out of the ordinary, maybe it's in a suburb somewhere, and you got an uncle who lives with the couple that you're going to go visit, but he's your uncle, and he just sits on the porch the entire time, just looking at people, looking at you, and as you pass by, he's just muttering under his breath, like, some little just phrases. Little quips.
Little factoids.
I love Todd.
Observations about your life. Yeah.
Right. Thanks. I didn't ask.
That's who he is. That's who he is.
Oh man.
So we've moving away from Todd takes. We've had kind of a big week or 2 weeks or I guess we've got to cover more or less 2 weeks of information since Aaron came on last week.
We missed a hell of a cycle.
Yeah, we did. So let's just get into it. I think before the podcast started, I said you know we should plan a few items, and you're like, nah, let's just tackle this
let's
get into it. So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with
let's start with the less controversial one. You want to start with Mike Pompeo? What a fucking disaster that is.
Yeah, I don't know much about it, so you can lead the way there.
So Mike Pompeo was the CIA director, and they were considering him for an advanced position. Mance Rayder had an episode not too long ago.
Oh, hey, by the way, before we hop in, I don't know that we've actually plugged Mance Rayder, and not that he needs it from us, but he's been crushing it on the podcast recently. If you're not listening to him, you definitely should. But keep going.
So one really interesting episode that Mance had not too long ago, I wish I could remember the title, but the subject matter was that Donald Trump is the most authoritarian president in his lifetime. Mm-hmm. I didn't agree with him when he first put it out. I didn't agree with him at all.
Uh-huh.
I thought Bush was. And we had a little back and forth, and he was like, dude, just listen to my episode. I promise you. And I listened to it, and I still didn't really buy it. And that's my fault, because I listened to it again recently, and he was absolutely right.
Are you talking about Mance?
Mance, yeah. He was absolutely right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This administration that Trump is stacking up is I mean... So we'll start with Mike Pompeo, because I think he's the less controversial of the two, believe it or not.
Sure, yeah.
Mike Pompeo is a guy who, while he was in the CIA, not only did he, obviously, he supported all the NSA surveillance programs, and he called them good and important work. There was, you know, this was a guy who called for Edward Snowden to get the death penalty. Okay?
Yeah.
This is the kind of person who's I don't even know what position they were considering him for. I don't even know if he's in. But the fact of the matter is that a hand was extended to him to further influence this already colossally disappointing administration. I mean...
Yep, colossal disappointment.
Unbelievable.
There was basically one, and I don't even want to call it a hope, because I don't know how much anybody believed it, but you know, you always just kind of cling to something, is that the basic hope was that maybe, just maybe, this guy keeps us out of one extra war that Hillary would have taken us into.
Right.
There's really nothing else you can credit the guy with. There's really not other than comedy.
Right.
But that was the major hope, was that maybe, just maybe, one war less.
This was like Walter Block, who I respect deeply. That was Walter Block's whole point. Was, yeah, we support him because look at the other option. Let's be realists here. If we have to support one of them, this is the one we're supporting. And that was his whole point. And I haven't seen Walter tweet or talk about this recently, but I can't imagine that he still feels the way that he used to. Even Walter, who ran the Libertarians for Trump campaign.
Yeah, I don't know how much I...
His whole point was keeping us out of a war that Hillary Clinton would have got us in, and now it's looking like we have three wars that Hillary Clinton wouldn't even have been interested in are on the forefront.
Yeah, it may be a bit of a stretch to say she wouldn't have been interested in them, but certainly it's not appearing that he is bucking the trend of meddling internationally, and that is a real big concern. One that, if I think everybody was to look in the mirror... would say, yeah, whether I expressed it publicly or not, I kind of probably knew it all along. But you're kind of seeing the, and I'm using this metaphor because I like a lot of these people, but you're seeing a lot of the rats leave the ship, so to speak. And the last of the kind of ANCAP or libertarian holdouts that were saying, hey, Trump might not be so bad, I think jumped off the boat. this last week or two, as they should.
A Twitter beef, but we know exactly
which
group of people you're referring to.
Yeah. And you know what?
Even them.
You can dwell on it, or you can say, hey, to some extent, welcome back. But it's neither here nor there. We don't have enough numbers to really matter anyway. But I think that's an indication, because there were some pretty big egos that were pretty attached to Trump. And to see them eat a little bit of crow, even though they didn't necessarily pin it on themselves, to see them eat a little bit of crow is pretty telling of where this thing might be headed. So, I don't know if there's anything more to say about that. The other of the hirings that I assume you were going to lead into was John Bolton.
Yes.
And this guy,
John Bolton.
This guy is, you know, there's very public hateable figures out there. It's easy to hate George Bush. It's easy to hate Bill Clinton, et cetera, et cetera. But then there's this underbelly of people that seem to maybe running things might be a little bit of a stretch, but they are smart, wily, and awful. And John Bolton is one of them. I mean, he's just like a Kissinger type. I mean, he's just it just seems like he is a strategist, and every single strategy ends in war, you know? And
right.
And that is, God, man, I don't care.
John Bolton is, I think his message, I mean, I have some quotes here. We could get into them if you want to.
Yeah.
His message is absolutely antithetical to every single thing I stand for. And I'm sure a lot of people
unreal.
Who listen to this podcast feel the same way.
Yep. So do you want to read a couple of these things?
And just if anyone who... I don't know, if anyone who's listening to us who doesn't know who John Bolton is, there's a large sect of the libertarian community that doesn't keep up with politics at all, so... and I don't blame you, by the way, when people like this have a chance at sending children to die. But let me read some of his quotes if you're not familiar with the guy, and these are some of the things that we're dealing with here. Diplomacy is not an end in itself if it does not advance U.S. interests. That's a quote from John Bolton.
Yeah.
Let me give you another quote. Negotiation is not a policy. It's a technique. If something you use when it's your advantage, and it's something that you don't use when it's not in your advantage. That's another one.
Yeah.
So you can already see where this is going. Here's another good one. There's no such thing as the United Nations. If the UN Secretary building in New York lost 10 stories, it wouldn't make a bit of a difference. Now, I don't like the UN either, but to suggest...
Yeah.
That the building could lose 10 stories and it wouldn't make a difference shows you how considerate this person is.
It's indicative of, it's almost like none of us are, I mean, I'm not a Constitution guy, but I will support it insofar as it might restrain somebody. I know it won't, but metaphorically speaking, you know, you cling to the last thing that you might be able to pin somebody
right.
on and, you know, in as much as the UN, and maybe I'm stepping a little bit beyond my depth here, but would try to keep the U.S. out of engaging another sovereign country, it's like, all right, like I can support that. But at this point, I think that the UN is. I wish it would just disappear.
Carr, this is a guy who Bush appointed.
Yeah.
He's the UN ambassador. I mean this. This
yeah,
is a guy
yeah.
who's the bloodiest form of a Machiavellian opportunist. That
yeah, that's exactly
that,
that's exactly what he
it's
is.
Just it's fucking it's, disgusting. It's
it is man.
It's awful.
It is. It's just the guy gives me the freaking creeps.
The creeps.
And man.
And he looks like the fucking Monopoly man. Can we talk about that
man.
For a second?
We can.
Can we talk about how this guy who probably carries around bags full of blood of Yemeni children? Is
it was who was
like
it
a
that
fucking
was suspected
Monopoly
of,
man?
Was it Al Gore that everybody thought was carrying around bags of blood?
Didn't like he have like a blood vial? Yeah.
I
wouldn't fucking be surprised if this guy does that too. I really.
He might, man.
Oh my god.
He might.
When Alex
He's
Jones
just,
talks about psychic vampires, this is the image.
Yeah.
This is the image. This is the kind of person that appears in my head. This vicious, evil neocon
yep.
who, for some reason, if you Google his name right now. He does not have any sort of support in the media.
Yeah,
There's
I know.
No
and
support
that,
for this guy in the media.
It's like, where do these guys come from? Like, how do they keep
what the
how do they keep cropping
who
up?
Values this fucking guy's opinion?
Yeah. Not yeah,
it's like the same thing with Max Boot. Like, Max Boot comes onto CNN, and I'm like, who the fuck actually listens to this guy?
I know, it's
the most important people.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Like, at least celebrities whose opinion I absolutely do not respect, but at least it's like I know why they're there. Like, it's ratings or something. Nobody even knows who Max Boot is in the greater populace, and the guy's just a piece of trash. Like,
he's influential.
Yeah, for some reason. Yeah, they're all tied up in those think tanks and they pull.
I wonder if I fucking jumped ship on the libertarian movement and I just decided that war was the coolest thing ever. If next week you'd see a pay grade raise in my salary.
Right, right. Yeah. I don't. Yeah, you're on.
Who the fuck
CNN.
Is paying these people?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's grotesque and it's unfortunate. And I think we can put the final nail in the coffin on any hopes for a even vaguely libertarian or at least anti-war presidency from Donald Trump. I know that.
Well, look, that was the thing that I was thinking about to myself yesterday, because I wanted to get my opinions together on John Bolton. It didn't take too long to do that, but it's not even so much that Bolton and Pompeo and fucking Sessions. It's not so much that they could do something. It's the fact that these fucking evil people are still being validated by the highest office that you could possibly have in the world.
Exactly.
They're still being validated. That opinion is still being validated that we could just trample over brown people in other countries because we want to.
Well, and it's a tremendous white flag. It's a huge white flag of surrender, or at least until proven otherwise, it appears to me to be a huge white flag of surrender from the Donald Trump administration of just saying, yep, we give up, the deep state took. You know, it's
right. Thank you, Carr. If anyone is the fucking deep state, it's this guy.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, if there was any hope, again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I don't think anybody here had grand illusions of Donald Trump draining the swamp. But
no,
if there was anything that anybody was clinging on to of saying, hey, maybe, I mean, to his credit, he did basically end the Bush's career, you know, any further Bush, and probably Clinton's too,
yeah.
and definitely Clinton's. So, like a bull in a china shop, even if it wasn't. Oh, I mean, was it worth it? No, I don't. That's for history to decide if it was going to be one or the other. As it was going to be. Who the hell knows?
Yeah,
nobody.
At this point, we could have had either.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, exactly. And that's man, what a sad day. It really does suck to see that last capitulation, you know, in some sense.
And, you know, at the same time, considering that we recently did an interview with Bitcoin's Not Bombs, the fact that a bill is being pushed through to end our participation in the war in Yemen as the administration over which that bill is being pushed is bringing in people like Bolton is, I don't know, there's no more obvious sign that people should jump the whole fucking ship on this thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's
it makes people like Bernie Sanders appealing.
Yeah, but you gotta wonder like what that would look like. You know, I mean, I think
no, obviously, I'm just if you don't want dead kids, go to the fucking old Jewish guy.
Maybe maybe. I mean, is that guy gonna have a backbone and stand up to anybody? I doubt it.
And,
you know,
well, I don't know how much of a. I don't know much of a backbone that old fuck has left.
No, he's got nothing left. He's got nothing left. He's been stooping to the state for his whole life. He's got nothing left, man. It's all shot.
Jesus. Yeah, you're right. What the fuck am I saying? Yeah, but, man. I don't know. It's I don't like getting heavy on this podcast. This the whole point was to not get heavy.
I know. I know. I feel that we're owed. We should do one slightly heavy podcast.
Yeah.
But
one reality check.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
We got the backlash from Parkland shooting still going on, advancement on potentially.
And we got that dog in the background going fucking hard.
I'm telling you, man, I'm so sick of that dog. It's ridiculous. I hear it in my sleep because it's still barking when I'm sleeping. So in the wake of the Parkland shooting, we've got this mysterious just like, what would appear to be, if you didn't know the history, a kind of a grassroots growth of these marches and stuff like that for gun control. And it's just seemingly hitting a new fever pitch every single day. Like it seems like these die down fairly quickly in other instances. Yeah. Not the case this time.
No.
so far.
I was thinking the same thing. I saw one of those pan over, I don't know, probably from a drone or something, one of those images of those of the march. And for some reason, it struck me that this might be the real deal this time.
Yeah. I mean, who the hell knows? I don't know where
we are. This fucking every administration we've ever had is so willing to tear the Constitution up, and so am I. But not when they have,
not in that direction. Not in that direction. That's what I was talking about earlier. It's like you're willing to cling to the one thing as long as it's going your direction. But yeah, right. No, it's like not in that direction. I mean, it's not. I don't support the Constitution, but I support the Second Amendment in some weird way. You know, it's like
We were talking about that in the Discord. Everyone, get into the fucking Discord. You're missing good conversations.
Yeah,
we were talking about that in the Discord. That like, do libertarians support the Second Amendment? Insofar as
right. Yeah, it's like a one way street. You know, it's like any port in a storm. But so I'm seeing more and more people coming out and like kind of going to that side of like, oh, like we don't need weapons of war in our society. And man, it just gets me. And let me preface all of this with everybody that's listening to this probably has gotten the idea so far. I don't, and I'm sure you share this with me. I'm not really a gun guy, and I don't have a gun. If I've got extra money, it's going to degenerate cryptocurrency gambling and snowboards. Like that's what I'm doing with it. Like I just don't have, the entire point of this podcast is for me to slip in, become friends with people who do have guns. That way I'm covered. I cover my bases without actually having
you'll find out who's got a bunker in Nevada.
Yeah, exactly. But I want to express my unmitigated support for private citizenry having any gun that they want.
That includes nukes. It's a fucking joke,
dude,
but I'm not going
to
stop
you.
If you want to
set up a machine gun turret in front of your house,
give
your boy Carr a call.
They think we're kidding. Dude. There are people on Twitter who really think we're kidding. Like, we couldn't possibly be that crazy, but it's not crazy. That's the logical conclusion.
Right. I mean, so if you look at this, like, kind
right,
of
maybe
like,
we're a little crazy. I'm sorry, Carl.
Well, I mean, maybe we're a little crazy. I don't necessarily want to live next to somebody that has a recreational McNuke under their floorboards. Like, I mean,
in their bunker.
Yeah, that's true. But I view it a lot like, and this is kind of a loaded topic in itself, but just sit with the metaphor rather than getting too deep in. But like, it's kind of like vaccinations. If enough of the herd is vaccinated, I don't need to get vaccinated, right? I mean, it's enough to deter the attacking bodies in some sense. So if there is enough weaponry spread out among the public, that may be enough to deter an attack either from outside or inside, you know? So right. The more the better, man. And,
right,
and these guys like Defense Distributed down there, Cody Wilson, sending out those 80%. Fuck yeah, man. I mean, pump them out and get them into – now, I'm hoping that people are using them somewhat responsibly and, like, don't accidentally shoot me. Like, that would suck. But, like, otherwise, you know, the more the merrier. And give me a call, and I'll help you set up the machine gun turret.
Right. There's two really – I mean, if we are going to look for, like, a glimmer of hope on this conversation, there are two really important things that are happening as this gun control debate is going on. And the first one is the kids who are having the debate, and not the specific kids, not the faces of this, but kids who are having this debate. There are a lot of them who are starting to realize if you take away guns or if you clamp down on guns, you have to wear clear backpacks.
Dude,
and that sounds like it's a silly thing. It's not. I've seen on Twitter more than a few times to suggest that people who want to ban guns are starting to realize like they're being punished for things other people have done.
Right.
They're being so one of the tweets that I saw was, you know, I want the gun ban, and then, well, you have to wear clear backpacks. Wait, why are you blaming me for something someone else did? And that little glimmer of hope. That hopefully people are starting to realize that it's you have to hold the individual accountable and other things, but not so much that you end up chaining yourself to the floor, like so many people are willing to do, to jump off the cliff just because someone tells them to.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
That's number one.
It's stepping away from the situation and just like I can't help but think in 5 years you're going to look back and just be like, or I hope we're going to be like, that was an insane month. We had,
I hope so.
We had 16-year-olds on nonstop news coverage, like controlling the political narrative of the country. People that don't even pay taxes. Like, I mean, what's going on here? You know, and it's just so bizarre. And I almost don't know where to start with that. Like, it's a very strange thing. And then then we've got clear backpacks coming into the mix, and it's just so strange, man. Just,
I mean, and the other encouraging thing, I guess you could say, I mean, I don't like the NRA at all.
No, not really. Yeah, I mean,
whenever these events happen, whenever the gun control debate starts up again, and I think this is the most fiery that it's been. Whenever the gun control debate starts up again, what goes up? NRA memberships.
Yeah.
Goes up every time. It goes up, meaning new people. Not, it goes up, meaning people are buying more memberships. That's not how it works.
Right.
There's new memberships coming in. And not only that, more guns are being bought. Now, you could say it's a guy who buys 7 guns. I don't know where that guy is getting the money to do that, but...
Yeah, I think if you took a spin through our Discord group and you put the I'd put the over under around 7.
That's true. I do. I wonder what the average of people in our Discord group is. It's somewhere between 7 and 41.
Yeah,
something
like
that. And
a tank. And that's just the ones that are lost in the lake behind the house.
Yeah, the ones who will tell us they have those guns. Yeah.
Right.
It is. So it's slightly encouraging to see that there is an equally virulent group of people to oppose.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
TV.
That's, you know, and that's kind of, I think in a lot of ways, that's America's dirty little secret, and a dirty little secret that I happen to love. You know, I think when I was on with Rollo and Slappy like 2 months ago,
right?
And I was talking about, you know, they were more or less, do you love America, or do you love, you know, what is it to be an American? And I say, yeah, I do. I am an American. I love being an American. I think there is something about our culture that does make us a little bit different. And
considering you're an anarchist, you should Like, what is the basis for that? What is the like, what do you mean by American? You mean...
No, I don't... Yeah, I don't mean I mean the region and the people. And there is something... I still believe that America, even if it's quiet, is still the heart and the heartbeat of liberty around the world. I know that you could find some isolated community somewhere that technically is more free, but you know, yada, yada, yada. But in terms of a large populace, even if they're quiet a lot of the time, that is obsessed with human freedom, man, we got it. And I think that you find that out really quick. If you start clamping down on guns, you're going to feel that heartbeat, and you're going to feel it loud. And there is something to that. And there's something about that. That I really like, and the paradox is that I'm not even a gun guy. I could never touch a gun the rest of my life, and I'd be happy. Like I would rather go snowboarding and surfing and camping, and just like that's where all my money ends up going.
Yeah.
But man, it's the more that you flip through the stories of history, the more that you realize it's important for an equal and opposite reactive force to one that may potentially be oppressive. So that is what makes that's what I feel I love about this place. And
I mean, it's true, because we're the only people who have that culture.
Yeah,
we have a whole bunch of other cultures.
There's like probably some smaller.
I'm sure in Germany there's an endless amount of people who would, if we brought them over here, would be, ban guns. Yeah, just ban them.
Right.
But we're the only geographical region that has people who say, you can own that, and I can own that. And guess what? We could kill one another with these things.
Yeah.
But I don't want to kill you.
Right.
I want to protect myself.
Right. And you.
And you.
I mean, you know.
And you only because you own the bunker that I live in.
But well, I mean, hey, man, that's voluntary action. that's the trade. That's the global division of labor. That's the division of labor I'm hoping to get into when shit hits the fan and I don't have anything.
So we've learned today that in order to avoid a repeal of the Second Amendment, build yourselves a bunker.
Right.
And dare those motherfuckers to take your guns.
No, I mean that is a powerful thing, man, because I think that there are a lot of people in this country that said, all right, come and take it. And
oh yeah, absolutely.
And you better believe they could take some.
And they mean it. And they mean it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fucking people that I know who say, come and take it, who I am damn sure if somebody tried to come and take it, there'd be a fucking Waco situation.
Right, right. And granted, I mean, on the other side of that coin, as people will frequently point out, it's like, how are you gonna defeat the U.S. military? Like, it's like, man, it's not about that. Again, we come back to the thing that we discuss. It's that delicate dance of the United States government to ride the gravy train. And
right, exactly. And also, as if defeating the U.S. military is like they're robots.
Yeah,
from somewhere else.
Right.
Like, as if over half of them also don't want to just be able to own all their guns and fucking protect the American people.
Yeah,
like,
you got to...
People forget that.
You got to figure some would defect. I mean, I would think. Maybe I'm putting too much faith, but I would imagine that some would defect if that was the order.
I don't know, dude. I don't know, dude, because who supported Ron Paul?
Oh, yeah. You
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
That is the sleeping giant.
That's a really good point, man. That's a really good point that there are. And man, there's a lot of people coming out. If you look around the libertarian, especially anarchist community, it's like, man, how many combat vets? A shitload.
Oh, absolutely. So many.
That's the other thing too. You're right. It's not just a bunch of robots. It's not like you're setting up a chessboard and you're saying which team wins based on paper. Right. There would be the reality of the struggle and a lot of that.
Ask me that question if you're saying who's going to come for the guns, the police, and it's a different discussion. But ultimately, the guys with the biggest guns are going to be the ones who'd have to come.
Yeah.
And those guys love the fact that we have guns.
Yeah.
It makes their lives fucking easier.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, anytime... As a history buff, it's one of the few things I think that I can comprehend. One of the things that I hate is when people say, we need to get rid of the guns, makes people safer. You know, we don't need to worry about tyranny by the government. It's not going to happen. And I want to tell people, and maybe people who know what I'm talking about will get their reference, but I want to tell people, okay, go get a map of Europe, right? You got your map of Europe. Okay. Go to the year 1940. Right? Go look at a map of Europe. You're going to notice something, right? There's going to be blue countries and there's going to be red countries, right? But wait a minute. There's a gray country there.
Yeah.
And it's right below the really big red country.
Yep.
What country is that? Oh, that's Switzerland. Oh, you mean the country that arms its citizens?
Yep.
Oh, you mean the country where you can own fucking as many shotguns as you want, nobody has a problem, nobody fucking shoots one another, and that kept the Nazis out?
Yeah.
That in tandem with the fact that, like, they have bombs on all their bridges?
Yeah, but, well, yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
They take self-defense
just being,
seriously.
Be so fucking ignorant of history as to think that guns have not kept a tyrannical government off of the backs of good citizens.
Yeah.
Be so fucking ignorant as to suggest that's not a thing.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, you're right.
It's unbelievable.
Can we shift? I think we've beaten that horse to fucking death.
Oh, my God.
And it deserves to be
beaten. That's as much negativity as I can handle.
Well, I'm about to hit you with a little bit more because this... we can insert some levity into this. This thing has been popping up on my timeline, and I feel like it comes up every like 2 or 3 years. And it's the universal basic income, UBI. And
oh
my God, it drives me absolutely batshit, man. It drives me absolutely batshit. And I think what frustrates me the most, so taxation is theft, period, end of discussion. So we don't even need to discuss the taxation.
Yeah, we don't even need to say that.
What aggravates me the most is that it's a bunch of pragmatic libertarians who, you know, at the end of the day, I guess I don't really have all that much trouble with, because I think that we have both arguments. I think we have a pragmatic consequentialist argument, and I think we have a moral argument. I think they're both very, very strong. But there's a bunch of pragmatic libertarians that say, yes, the universal basic income would be better than our current situation because it consolidates it all into one tax, right?
Is that what we're talking about, of the welfare state? Are you saying as opposed to? Is this the argument
that That's what I see most frequently in the libertarian communities, is that...
As opposed to the welfare state, we should have basic income.
Exactly, okay. Right. So disregarding the fact on how do you get there without just simply adding another tax, like, I think you gotta add a tax
before you can take other taxes away, people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're not going to – it's not like it's going to be a Indiana Jones swap the sandbag thing.
Exactly.
Like, you're just going to end up with another tax, period.
Right.
But
if we want to be pragmatic and realistic about it, that's exactly what would happen, yeah.
Right. But here's my biggest issue and my biggest question for other libertarians that believe in in UBI or believe that it could be a pragmatic solution is that at the end of the day, it still doesn't solve our biggest problem. The theft sucks. It's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem that I see is that you're still creating an entity that gets free money with the power to tax.
Right.
And this entity gets out of control. And this system is what we call socialism. And it, right. And it only knows one direction, right? It only knows how to grow. And it removes so much of what true free market capitalism, anarchism, all being expressions of each other, brings to the table. And that's this profit and loss. It's the nervous system, right? It's the nervous right. system of the body. It's profit and loss. You stick your hand in a blender. Capitalism, the nervous system, tells you, get your fucking finger out of there, dipshit, because it's about to fall off, right? Socialism doesn't have that. It doesn't have profit and loss. So you look down and all of a sudden you got a nub down to your fucking elbow because nothing told you you were allocating resources poorly, right? So the entire thing is just a re-expression of something that we already know doesn't work. So why are you trying to make something that we know doesn't work work? And it drives me batty, man, because you see these...
It drives you batshit when libertarians do it.
Yeah.
Because when socialists do it, it's like, yeah, you're... Okay.
Yeah, you're like, all right, I didn't...
You're already down the well. I'm not going to fucking...
But it's like when I see it from other libertarians...
No, I get it. I've seen a lot of libertarians.
You'll see it on Reason. You'll see it on Reason.com. You'll see it on, and Cato sometimes. And you're like... And I can't...
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's a large amount of libertarians who I really, really like and trust who push it. I mean, everyone from Milton Friedman to fucking Mike Munger to Mats Wilinski.
It's...
A lot of people have a problem with Mats Wilinski, but I like all three of those guys. And I still to this day don't get it. It seems like theater to me. It seems like something you think you can do, and then the curtain gets pulled, and you realize, oh shit! Now we have two giants in the room.
Exactly, man. Exactly, and that's the thing that's frustrating is, and maybe it's most frustrating because if you don't think about it, it actually kind of makes sense for like a split second if you're not already like, you know, anarcho-capitalist kind of like, you know, we hear tax, we're like, no way.
I don't know. I mean, for example, we just look at Obamacare, right? Let's just fucking look at Obamacare. Half the fucking country wants to get rid of Obamacare, and they barely moved the needle on
it,
right?
Right.
It was put in, and then they wanted to take it away with the promise that they were going to replace it with a better system. Well, guess what? They added the system and didn't fucking take away the original
right.
one. This is, I mean... I understand the idea that getting rid of the welfare state is important, and that if you needed to have some form of tax, a universal basic income would probably be helpful. It does not work
right.
in the real world. It does not. This is a situation where you can fucking look at the piece of paper all you want. Once you apply it to the real world, it doesn't fucking work that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
I mean, and we know it doesn't work, and it's the same reason that everything else doesn't work. You know, and I don't – it's like – how do you look at this one thing and think that this re-expression of another bad component is going to be a better component? And I don't really understand.
I don't know.
I get like if you're kind of a Gary Johnson, like I just want to decrease the size and scope of government, which, you know,
they have their place. Yeah, we fucking laugh at Gary, but he has his place.
Yeah, but it's like, I get like where you would say, oh man, like you might jump at that opportunity and say, oh man, like this will be so nice. I'll just consolidate. I won't have to worry about all these different taxes. We'll just have one, and like I don't have to worry about welfare. Like, but man, don't be fooled. Don't be fucking fooled.
And it's unfortunate that they call that those people who would support sort of progression towards the goal, they call us lazy.
Yeah.
They call us not committed, and I don't think that's fair because we don't. Say that we don't. I mean, we don't say that they're going the wrong way. We just say, I don't know. It's not. It's probably not the right thing to do. But they will call us lazy.
Yeah.
As if we're not doing anything. As I check my fucking cryptocurrency wallet and try to buy a ghost gunner one day. Like, yeah. No. Sure. We're not doing nothing. I don't think that, you know, Michael Malice has a really good point. You know, Michael Malice is an anarchist, and his seemingly, although I don't want to speak for him, it seems like his solution is just let the whole fucking thing fall apart.
Well, that's the big difference. That is a big segment of you know, libertarians. And anarchists.
I mean, I think I kind of fall into that. I love my politics, but only as theater.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't love it because I think I can change it. I think I'm with Malice that this fucking system is not built to last. And me not passing more laws to keep the corpse, me not doing more Weekend at Bernie's bullshit, is probably just as progressive towards getting rid of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, okay. So, yeah, let's... I've been meaning to talk about this, actually. So I think it's important to remember, speaking of the capitalist system versus, or the free market system versus socialism, I think it's important to remember that we're on the winning side of this, right? I mean, it's like, you could look at in 1985, America versus Russia, and a lot of the free market guys were like, yeah, I mean, Russia's going to absolutely collapse. Like, it just can't. It can't function. We'd know why. Absolutely. Because it's just going to grossly misallocate resources until it just eats itself from within. And I think it's important to realize or remember or come back to every now and then the fact that ultimately the system can't hold. Now, I think that there are some people that are on the collapsitarian side that want it to be a little...
I like that. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. I mean...
we patent that? Shit, we can't patent anything.
Yeah, damn it. No, but I mean, I think that there are some that are on the collapsitarian side, that it's just going to be a big collapse and then a restart. I can't say that I haven't believed that at one time, and I could be persuaded back to it. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Like, right, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But but I look back at history and I look at how many times we've emerged or you know, societies or cultures have emerged from an outright collapse, and it been a whole hell of a lot better. And I mean, it has happened from time to time, but man, I don't know if I like those odds. I really like the more, bringing back the metaphor, the Indiana Jones swapping the sandbag kind of thing.
I don't know. I guess there is that aspect of, like, you could just sort of let it fall apart, because if you do anything, then you got to own up to it.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced that doing anything will work.
I don't think that there's a whole lot that we can do one way or the other, except for just be ready to take your business elsewhere, sort of thing. You know, I mean, like, if things begin to fail, if a local school system runs out of money because they were, you know, the bond bubble explodes.
Yeah.
You know, be aware, be ready. Don't rely on pensions. Don't rely on, because at some point that stuff, you know, you're sitting here and you're looking at $20 trillion in debt. And I know that a lot of people will say, you know, the debt doesn't matter. And, you know, in some ways they're right, but let's just try to remember that about half of that debt is owned by private citizenry within the United States. And so half the people here are going to get screwed out of money at some point, you know, if that trend continues, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. So it's like something is going to happen at some point, because people want their money. You know, that's what makes this entire world go around. That's what drives wars, is people who are owed money get their money, you know, or at least try.
Exactly.
You know, they come, they send Vinny
Did
to come break legs.
Did you watch Tom Woods' episode on modern monetary policy with Bob Murphy?
Yeah, I got halfway through. The guy's voice was so irritating.
Yeah, man, I understand why he was saying what he was saying, and everyone, I don't need to tell anyone who's listening to us to go listen to Tom Woods' show. It is only the seventh best libertarian show, but
it's still pretty
good, and you should check it out.
It's pretty good.
That's what modern monetary theory, they push that idea that the debt doesn't matter, that we just keep going. And like you said, someone's going to want their money back eventually. You know, people, I don't know, people think because we're the richest country in the world, and probably in the fucking history of the world, that somehow we can't collapse. But unless there's a difference between 1 and 3, then I don't fucking know what to tell you, because number 3 was Venezuela. So giants collapse. They fucking fall apart. So
yeah, man, I mean,
I'm not here to fucking make the collapse any slower.
Yeah, it's... In some ways, I don't think that the debt does matter. It doesn't matter in the way that mainstream conservatism makes it seem like it matters. You know,
it doesn't matter in that way.
It matters in a different, ethereal. Yeah,
it
matters in a little bit of a different way, in that ultimately it is part of, you know, it's a moving wheel in this big system, and if it busts, other things bust, because other people who are depending on that money can't pay their bills. And then those people who are depending on the bill payers.
I mean, there's just historically, there's never been a country that could avoid its debt. I mean, the strongest empires in all the fucking world, Rome could not avoid its debt. Mongolia could not avoid its debt. And they had fiat money.
Yeah.
And they printed as much fucking money as they wanted to, and they collapsed. Now, could you say it was because it was a bunch of fucking horse-riding maniacs? Maybe. But what's the fucking difference between a bunch of horse-riding maniacs and a bunch of F-16 flying maniacs? I don't... What is the real difference? It's economics.
Well, yeah, and speaking of economics, I mean, you've got to take into consideration that, let's say the debt's $20 trillion. Okay, let's say it grows to $30 trillion,
right?
Or 40, exactly. Or 50.
What does that mean? It means,
you know,
something.
What does that mean? And what if a sovereign nation owns, I don't know, 20% of that debt, and, right. And it's at 50, and it's 10, and there's $10 trillion outstanding to some sovereign nation. That means that they can spend $9.9 trillion on war, and it's economically viable. You know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Sense, anyone? It's funny because everyone from the like hardcore liberals who don't care about the debt to neocons who say the debt doesn't matter. I mean, it's really funny. They both fucking don't like China, and yet you'll hear them go, "Oh, China's economy is going to collapse soon." Oh, really? Oh, is it? So they can collapse. Yeah. Right. Why can
go
they collapse?
On.
You know, a country that's got way more fucking productive value than we do, and they'll collapse, but we won't. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, this is why you need to fucking buy Zcash, everybody. Zcash. And I'm not just saying that so I can sell it the minute you come in.
Just dump into the followers.
What's a shitty coin I could show? Let's do a John McAfee thing. What's a shit?
Yeah. Right.
That dude's a fucking genius. Oh, man. That's depressing.
That was depressing, man. I feel like we needed to do it, but goddamn. You know what we should do is we should keep the rest of this week. We're gonna in the future we're gonna leave these podcasts to the big boys, and we're gonna return to our boyish humor and my
boyish good looks.
Yeah, and antics and good looks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we had to talk about this kind of stuff because.
Yep.
I don't know. I think we need to remind people where we stand sometimes. Because,
I know.
Because the libertarian community is pretty hard up sometimes. Yeah. And even though we're here to make them laugh, like, you know, so sometimes we can't laugh. Like, there's no laughing about someone like John Bolton. There's no laughing.
No, man. No. Really depressing. But anyway, I don't know. You got any good news?
Not a fucking bit. Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Here's one. You told me a while ago that you wanted to come onto the podcast and talk about yard golf.
Oh, man. I forgot about that. Yeah, this was this game.
Can we send people off with a yard golf story?
Yeah, dude. All right, so this is this badass drinking game that we used to play in college. We inherited it from some other people that had graduated like 10 years prior. We worked with them in the restaurants or whatever. And, it's this badass game where
it's called yard golf. I don't know if people could understand me because I kind of just vomited it out. Yard golf.
Yard golf, yeah. So there's like usually six or eight or nine holes. And what it is you set up beer cans, you know, down some park, out in some park or something like that in a nine-hole golf course format with tee locations. And
Wait a minute. Wait, you just what do? You just fucking occupy a parking garage somewhere? Like I'm
no, no, man. You go out into we outside of New York City. We have these things called parks, and it's where they actually plant.
Right. Fuck, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Floor.
We have one of those called Central Park. It's not really a park; it's a place for homeless.
Yeah, right. So outside of New York, they're actually used by like middle class people from time to time.
Okay.
And so you set up these cans right in like a nine hole. Golf course format and with the tee boxes and whatnot, and you take turns. So you decide an order in the beginning and you take turns chipping your golf ball towards the can. You can use your golf club in any manner that you want. You can do a scoop shot, you can do a pool cue.
Nice.
You can do whatever you want, but you can only hit the ball once per turn.
Okay,
right? So you go around your squad, and each person chips towards the can. And when somebody hits the can, let's say they hit the can at hole one, all the balls freeze, and the person furthest away from the beer can has to shotgun that beer. Right? And then...
this is like every drinking game where it's just an excuse to drink. It's just an elaborate plot to get drunk.
Entirely. So
you don't need.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, but then there's a bunch of penalties too, right? So if you go out of turn, you have to shotgun a beer. If you get hit by a golf ball, you have to shotgun a beer. If you step on a golf ball, you have to shotgun a beer. If you hit your ball like twice accidentally, like when you're scooping it, you got to shotgun a beer. And then when the balls freeze, the guy furthest away shotguns the beer and he goes last on the next round. And the order is determined from proximity of the hole. So the guy who struck the can goes first on the next hole, you know, second closest goes right.
And so the guy who's last stays last.
Is at a significant disadvantage. So what typically happens is you have your mark, right? And you just like the one guy shotguns the first beer and you're like, all right, I'm gunning for this guy.
Right. So you're trying to fuck everybody else over.
Yeah. Usually, you know, you get to hole five and some dude is like shotgun five beers in like 20 minutes.
Wait a minute. Let me clarify this. Is it one beer per round or does it go up per? Oh.
Yeah, so each hole
I thought like by hole nine, you're shotgunning nine beers.
No. You shotgun the beer that was on the ground. What the problem is like if you do nine holes and it's in July, that ninth beer is approximately 300 degrees.
That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it's gross.
Oh my God.
You do not.
So not only do you get more drunk, it gets more gross.
Yes. Yeah.
So the whole point of this game is to get your friend Dave to vomit all over the fucking park.
It's always Dave.
It's always fucking Dave.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So all right, I propose that to be the official drinking game of the Friends Against Government podcast.
Okay, can it be the official support of Ancapistan?
I feel like it should be.
Are we allowed to declare that?
Yeah, we'll vote on it, and maybe we'll
just. Is that an act of aggression?
We'll just take some small golf fees, you know, some green fees from everybody, and then.
Who would have known that Ancapistan would have turned back into a state because of golf fees?
Yeah. So that was a good way to end that. I forgot I texted that to you.
Oh my God! I really wanted it. That's ridiculous. All right, guys.
We got a couple people we should plug. Before we hop off, let's give some shout outs. One guy who's been giving us a bunch of love and I like his stuff is Cynical in New York on Twitter. Give him a follow. As always, McFlugel.com. They've got a lot of great podcasts, especially if you're
Liberty Mugs.
Liberty Mugs. Mance Raider, Anarchy Ball's always got good shit, and I think he's got something coming up on the horizon. Who else we got? Buddy Agris sent out some of his writing to a bunch of us, and I read the first page and I really liked it, but I haven't finished it off, and I promise I will. But nice work on that, dude. And who else we got? Anybody?
Oh yeah, that's right, because he's working on something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to go further into it, but we'll have him on.
Yeah,
here.
At Agorist Buddy. We'll have him on here we'll have him on here for sure.
Cool. Mike Trump, Liberty
Mike Trump.
And I think that probably wraps it up, huh?
Oh God, yep, that's it.
All right, guys, till next week, two hands on the wheel.
See ya.